We are faced with a lot of disappointment and negativity, but instead of feeling devastated, it should motivate us to do better. Hi everyone, welcome back to a new episode, the first one in 2022. This episode has been a long time coming. It is made in collaboration with Seeds, a nonprofit organization here in Iceland, and the Y Foundation. Because in this episode, I will refer to a movie that was screened in the Nordic House in November called The Recycling Myth. And it's a movie that was made by the Y Foundation. So the Y Foundation was found in Denmark in 2004. And their mission is to create investigative documentaries to point out issues and problems such as plastic pollution in their newest documentary. I pretty much thought that I knew most things about plastic. I have read books and journals, websites. I've been watching documentaries about plastic. As you know, there are a lot available even on Netflix. I thought I will not be surprised by what I see in this documentary, but of course it proved me otherwise. And after seeing the documentary and being part of the panel discussion, I think a lot of people in the audience were wondering, should I still recycle? And I was wondering the same. So this is the question I would like to answer in this short podcast episode. But first, I would like to explain why this question came up. Plastic is a material that we encounter just everywhere in our life, from the moment we wake up to the moment we go to sleep. Just without plastic, we would not have these high standards in medicine and hospitals. And then, of course, we have plastic that feels unnecessary, such as everything that we use that is disposable, such as coffee cups, plastic water bottles, fruit and vegetables wrapped in plastic, plastic grocery shopping bags. And all this together created a lot of waste in the past years. And even though now we are slowly starting to wave goodbye to single-use plastic, we still have the amount that has been produced and used in the last couple of years. We're still dealing with this amount. Something that has to be very clear, and I think that a lot of people forget, is once we throw our plastic packaging into the trash bin, or we think we recycle it, it's not just gonna magically go away. It is still there. Only a very small percentage gets recycled. And I have a post on my Instagram page that I made, I think, more than a year ago about the basically recycling lie in Iceland, that Iceland claims they recycle over 50% of its plastic. But what actually happens is that they just ship it abroad. Whatever happens with it then is questionable. But for the statistics in Iceland, it counts as recycled, which is problematic because it makes us feel good with what we're doing. But in reality, we're still contributing to polluting. And I don't want to focus this episode on what exactly happens with Icelandic plastic, because I would recommend you to head over to the Seeds Instagram account and check out the podcast interview they did with Bjartma, who's an investigative journalist in Iceland and who has all the insights of what actually happened with Icelandic plastic. So I would recommend you to check out their Helpline Earth episodes that they did with Bjartma. So the documentary basically guides you through the process of what is happening with plastic these days, and some of it gets incinerated. That means it gets burned. It produces energy, of course, because plastic is made of fossil fuels and it burns pretty well. However, in the process of burning, it creates our good old friend CO2, which is a greenhouse gas which leads to global warming, which is something that we're trying to avoid in the future. Burning plastic, yes, is an option, but it does not help our fight against climate change. So what else can you do with plastic? You can recycle it, but how do you recycle it? How do you take this material and put it into, like, recycling it would basically mean you close the loop. But this is often not happening. The right word to use would be downcycling. So you're not having the same quality of the material, you lose quality. Hence the word downcycling. The problem with plastic recycling is that plastic has so many categories and only a few of them can be recycled. I think it's important to see it. And in this documentary, you really see it. You realize it is impossible for a machine or a person to sift through this amount and assign all the parts with the right number. Sometimes I have plastic packaging at home that doesn't even tell me the number, the recycling number. So how will a machine or a human be able to sort out these massive amounts that we throw away every day? It's impossible. And it's a fairy tale. And that's why, obviously, in this documentary, the head of the burning facility says this is a great way of getting rid of the plastic. And in some way, he's of course right. Because it's a situation where you would ask, well, do you have a better idea? So to explain you the numbers quickly, I was trying to find a trusting source, because if you Ecosia or Google plastic recycling numbers, the first pages that pop up are plastic producers. So I'm going to look at Plastplan's Instagram account, because earlier in 2019, they had a great overview of all the plastic categories. Number one is the most common plastic type in the world, PET, and it's used for soda bottles, your trusty plastic water bottle, which of course you're not paying for the water, you're buying a plastic bottle. And it's also found mostly on land and in the sea as a polluter. Number two is single-use plastic bags or wrappers, and even bigger things such as shampoo bottles. It is mostly incinerated or used in landfills, so I would say it's not recycled. Number three is a stronger material used in construction, so it's like plastic windows, cables, plumbing. And it's PVC. Also, PVC is like flooring. I had PVC flooring in my old apartment in Germany, I remember. It has a lot of toxins that it can release when melted. So, not good. Number four is strong. It is used for food, for clothing. It says it's also used for toys. So, I would say baby toys. It can be shredded in raw materials. So now we come to number five. It says it's various larger objects, water cans, boxes and toys, food packaging. It doesn't say if it gets recycled. So the internet says it can be recycled, but only around 3% is currently recycled. So now we come to bad number six. If you see number six, you can pretty much just put it into your normal trash bin, because number six is not recyclable. in the larger context. If you look at Plusplan's website with their recycling machine, they can actually recycle it. But number six should never go into a plastic recycling bin. A very common number six is styrofoam. You know, these like foamy white containers. We have some of them at home. I am trying to reuse them as often as possible. If I freeze soup or sauce or anything else in my ice cube tray, then when the ice cubes are frozen, I would put them into the styrofoam. And I'm only using it as long as it's like, it doesn't look if it starts to fall apart, I have to throw it. But obviously I'm trying to avoid it. Number seven is difficult. It's all kind of mixed categories together, and also bioplastics. So bioplastics is not always good because there's not really a recycling program for it, and a lot of people are not sure about it or putting it into the recycling bin and mixing it with actual plastic. It's really difficult. And if you want to know more about bioplastic and how it affects the environment, you can head to another episode that I have in my podcast where I tell you all about biodegradable and bioplastic. So these are the recycling numbers, but how do we know that it actually gets recycled? So what we learned through the documentary is that there are criminals that buy plastic from different countries, promise to recycle it, probably counts as recycled for that country, but they actually just either leave it at some backyards, or they burn it illegally. And that is something that, knowing that this is going on, is pretty devastating, because it makes you wonder if you have any impact by doing all the sorting at home. And it really makes you wonder. And there is one aspect of the movie that completely shocked me. So let's head over to TerraCycle if you're not familiar with that company. I've been following them for a few years now, and I was really excited about what they're doing. So according to the website, TerraCycle is working to take hard to recycle materials and prevent it to end up in the ocean and turn it into new products to close the loop. They promise that they can recycle almost everything. But what is curious, they do not actually show you how they do it. And mind you, their recycling boxes that you can order, it's called Zero Waste Box, to put your non-recyclable trash inside, they're really expensive. So it costs a lot of money to order one of their boxes, fill it, and send it back to them to get recycled. And I feel a little bit naive that I've been never wondering about that. So what the documentary uncovered is that some of the plastic that was supposed to be sent to recycling from TerraCycle, from their program, ended up in an East European country where it was probably ending up polluting the environment, ending up in nature, or illegally burned. People that work in recycling centers and that have some insights say that it is really hard to work with TerraCycle, and that the company is not telling anyone what they're doing with the waste. There was actually a lawsuit filed against TerraCycle recently in March 2020, saying that the recycling programs are not accessible or transparent, and that the vast majority of the packaging still winds up in landfills and the ocean. Furthermore, TerraCycle has provided no proof that they actually recycle the products that are sent back to them. What I found very suspicious, and like I said, naively, I did not think about that. They are working with huge corporations, including Procter & Gamble, L'Oreal, Coca-Cola. And what it basically does is it encourages consumers to keep buying Coca-Cola or L'Oreal shampoo bottles or whatever, because it has the TerraCycle symbol. So it tells them it will not end up polluting the environment, it will actually get recycled because they're part of TerraCycle. So instead of people finding alternatives, such as if we look at L'Oreal, finding solid shampoo bars, bringing their containers to fill up shampoo and conditioner, they're just encouraged to keep living the same lifestyle and buying a lot of plastic bottles because TerraCycle will take care of it. So if someone tells you just live your life and we're gonna take care of your trash, you of course want to believe that, because a lot of people don't want to make the effort of finding alternatives and changing their lifestyle. So let's go back to the question that I asked in the beginning of this episode. Should I still recycle, knowing that most of my trash will end up not in the properly way of recycling? And I say yes. There is, of course, a power that we still have, and this power is to choose what we buy and which company we support. And I think I've been keep telling this for a long time now, and I've been talking about this. I'm totally aware of that we can always choose the best product for the environment or something that is not wrapped in plastic, because some things are just wrapped in plastic. I buy plastic every week, knowing that the plastic I throw away probably does not get recycled will not prevent me from still trying my absolute best to produce as little as possible and to make sure it at least gets into the right waste stream. And I'm working from there. So I will keep buying my solid shampoo bars, try to fill up as much as I can, finding products that are without plastic, trusting Kronan when I buy in Kronan, leave the plastic in the store because they at least take care of it in a better way that Sorpa or Terra or any company will do. And I don't want to lose my trust in companies and people completely. These decision makers and to these players. And whatever we're gonna do next, which might be a petition, which might be a protest, or just trying to talk to these decision makers, there is a power that we have. I hope that in a future episode I can get an interview with people who are actually working in the industry and have a bit more insights, and I will keep you updated about that. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Seeds for inviting me to the movie screening and the panel discussion. And I'll hear you soon. Thank you.